All right, folks, if I could get your attention, thank you for partaking in the silliness of the Christmas song question. I'm sure there were some fantastic answers. We did get some questions submitted during the week via email about the series, so I wanted to take just a few quick seconds and try and address some of those. The first one, and this is in reference to, I made a comment about just pain that could be ongoing, right? Like a rift in my family that might not ever be mended. And that's a very real thing that we have to face. So the question comes, do you still pray for miracles? Right? Do you keep on asking, even though there's this thing, this relationship, whatever, this issue that appears to not have the preferred resolution in sight? The questioner goes on, I get afraid to ask God for anything because I'm scared of no. And what do you do with that? So, a couple of things. Our faith is based on hope. And one of the most meaningful verses to me in all of Scripture is Romans 4:10. And it's talking about Abraham after God had promised him something. And Abraham had waited and waited and waited. Decades he's waiting, and it hasn't happened. And Paul, the author of Romans, says this. He says, against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. Against all hope, in hope, Abraham believed. So yes, I still pray for miracles. And at the same time, this is like one of those weird things. It's hard to do, but to pray for miracles and to grieve the loss at the same time. Does that make sense? We can do both of those things. We can do both of those things with God. He can meet us in the middle of those things. He can and he does meet us in the middle of those things, and he can do something about those things. The part about I'm afraid to ask God for anything because I'm afraid of hearing no. I don't think any of us likes to hear no, right? So my belief is what we attach to the word no. If we bring something to God and we feel like he's giving us a no, or it's like a hard no, do we attach the no as, oh, God's not there. God's not listening. God's listening. God doesn't care. God just doesn't think I'm worth answering. Or do we hear that no as, okay, God is always with me. The Bible tells me that God is for me, and that he hears me and that he sees me. Is there more to his no than I am capable of seeing right now? And not that I don't want to minimize that, not that that no is never easy. I mean, this was a question specifically about a trial in my life. And so I know that, I K-N-O-W, that N-O, right? I know that no. And that's why we need, you're going to hear me say this over and over and over this morning. We need people around us to remind us of who God is, and how it's like him to act, and how it's like us to respond to him in the good things and in the hard things. Well, each of these questions, I could go on, like we could do a series on each of them, but I'm just going to try to address them briefly, and then if there are follow-ups or whatever, please reach out to me. Please reach out to me afterwards. If nobody does their best, how do we forgive them and still love them? So this is in regard to a comment that Dr. Mike made last week, and that there's only one person who ever did their best, and that was Jesus. So the questioner is wondering, like, how do I bring myself to forgive somebody if they didn't do their best by me? And I think we have to go back to the conversation, the unstuck conversation we had about unforgiveness. Right? Forgiveness is a gift. If it's a gift for us, when we receive that forgiveness from God, it frees us from shame and from guilt And it's a gift for us, right? Because it frees us from bitterness and anger and hatred and envy. So as much as forgiveness is about releasing the other person, it's for us as well. It's to help us move on. It's to help us. If somebody hurts us, they exercise power over us. And if we don't forgive them, they continue to exercise power over us. We allow them to continue to exercise power over us. And then at its most basis level, Jesus doesn't look at me and say, Tom, you're forgiven because you did your best. Most of what I need to be forgiven for is me at my worst. Right? If we're honest, most of our days aren't about our best. But Jesus meets us in the middle of that and says, I love you and I forgive you anyways. His forgiveness is about grace and mercy. And that's the forgiveness he wants us to share with others. The last one, Dr. Mike talked about pain. I wanted to hear more about how the one in pain can get unstuck. What do they do? There was good info for helping others, but I need more of it if you are the one that's in pain. So here's the thing. We spend, the people who come up here and share their thoughts and teach from Scripture, spend a lot of time talking about what that means for how we can reach to other people, whether that's people within the church, people out the church. What that means is that there's somebody on the other side of that, right? There was lots of good info about how to help others. There's someone being helped. And depending upon your season of life, what's going on in your life, you could be the person that's receiving that help. A big part of the answer to our pain comes from the people who are sitting in this room. If we're in pain, we need to be willing to invite somebody into that. Just because something bad happens to us doesn't automatically mean it's traumatic. It becomes traumatic when something bad happens to us and we are alone, when we don't have a trusted, mature, compassionate, unconditionally loving somebody in our lives, whether that's a friend or a coworker or a counselor or a mentor or a spouse or a colleague, whatever form that relationship might take. Right? We have to be willing to invite somebody into our pain. And it's in the presence of joyful relationship that we can pick the word, process our pain, metabolize our pain. You can't always make sense of your pain. But it's in the presence of God and in the presence of others that we can move forward and get unstuck from pain. Those are three really awesome questions, three deep questions. So I would encourage you to shout at me or Leanne or one of the elders if you want to have more conversation about those. But we want to keep moving and give you guys a chance to not have to listen to me for the whole morning, but talk to each other. Sound good? All right. Before we do that, I'm going to ask Leanne to come up here. And we're just going to take a few minutes and we're gonna pray. Especially over this last week, all the follow-up conversations that I've had from Dr. Mike and I being up here last week and thinking through that, there's a lot of pain in this room. People carry a lot of pain with them. And we wanted to just take a second and recognize that and lift those pains up to Jesus and ask him to do the things that only he can do. So if you would, if you're comfortable, close your eyes and allow us to pray for you.
Jesus, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being present in this room today and in each of our lives as we leave this room weekly. We just kneel at your feet this morning and acknowledge that you have asked us to come to you when we're heavy and laden with burdens, and that you will carry them for us and give us rest. So we claim that promise this morning, Jesus. We claim that for ourselves, but for each other as well. I claim it for every person in this room, that we may have a moment this morning of just surrendering the heaviness and laying it at your feet, knowing that you have died for us, died to take those burdens for us because you love us so much. I just thank you so much that we can lean on these promises from your word to know that you care about what is going on in each of our lives and that you have the ability to do something about it. I pray for every person, as I do regularly, for this morning that is sitting in this room that just feels just overwhelmed by the things that are going on in their life with this season. Like Dr. Mike talked last week, how it is a hard season for so many of us. And I just pray for refreshment, for spaciousness, and for a real sense of your love. Just pray these things in your name.
Jesus, thank you that you know pain. That we can turn to you not as somebody who's far removed or has never experienced hardship or struggle or suffering. Thank you that you enter into our pain with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You meet us in the middle of our pain. Whether it's old, unresolved pain or whether it's pain from the moment or a combination of all of that, Jesus. Thank you that you don't want us to be alone. Thank you that it's your presence that's with us. Thank you that you provide your people. And Lord, right now, you know the stories of each person sitting in this room. You know the pain that they carry. You know the pain that they've worked through and the pain that still resides within them. God, sometimes that pain makes us do things we don't want to do, act in ways we don't want to act. So God, we ask that you would help us get unstuck. We ask for your healing, not just for healing's sake, but that we might be able to move closer to you and we might be able to experience the fullness and the richness and the closeness of a relationship with you. Jesus, please do now the things that only you can do in people's hearts and minds. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen. So, the real quick wrap-up for all of getting unstuck is this. We cannot get unstuck without God. We cannot get unstuck without other people. We cannot get unstuck if we believe lies about God. We cannot get unstuck if we believe lies about ourselves. And that requires an ongoing, concerted effort. Right? Our hope and our prayer is that if you have been able to identify that thing that leaks out into all the other areas of your life and you've begun to work on it, that you would keep working on it, that this would be a first step in the process. Maybe you're fortunate enough to be at a season of life where that thing isn't, there isn't that thing right now, but you're walking with folks who are. And that you would have been inspired and encouraged to reach into their lives and to do what you can for them to help them get unstuck. Like I prayed, the reason we want to get unstuck is so that we can move closer to Jesus. Jesus will reach us in our place of stuckness, but he says, follow me. Right? If we're stuck, we can't go with him. He wants us to go with him each and every day. And that requires this hard work that we've been talking about. All right, so that's enough of me blathering. We got three questions for you. I'm going to run through them real quick, and then you guys will have a chance to work on them together. The first one is this. What do you need to keep the process of getting unstuck rolling? What do you need to keep moving forward? And there's some possible ideas up there. It is not an exhaustive list of what those things might be. Second question, what can you do as a matter of practice to stay unstuck? Jesus gives us lots of things, lots of ways to communicate with him, lots of ways to grow, lots of ways to heal. And some of those things are meant to be done regularly and intentionally. Prayer, silence, solitude, Bible reading, that kind of stuff. And then the last one is, what can you do as a matter of practice to help others get unstuck? And that could be as simple as tapping somebody on the shoulder and saying, hey, I could really use somebody in my life right now. Just letting somebody know, right? Or the other way around, based on the way that question is worded. So Joe's going to go back to that first question, give you guys a chance to discuss through it, and then after a little bit, I will move us forward to the next question. Any questions about the questions? All right, let's go.